and desire and interest in your prayers this morning. I never stand in this place, whether it be in the home congregation or in this location, without feeling a great realization of being in a place that is a high rent district as far as I'm concerned. I feel very insufficient in myself, particularly on a day like today. Went to bed last night thinking about the service today, and feel like the Lord has given me some inspiration and want to try to share that with you today. We are in a world that continually discredits Christianity on every line. We are in a world that discounts the reality of God. We're in a world that discounts the power of God. And we're hard-pressed to find faith in just believing in God in our society today. We find that this type of thing encroaches more and more on us as individuals and as families. We feel the pressures of believing in God. We feel the pressures of believing that He has requirements out of us that would cause us to be different from the nominal world that we live in. And ultimately, we have a real challenge in our world to have faith that God can heal our mortal bodies. It's something that is under severe attack. I'd like for us to consider our faith and what it's based on this morning and how it's established. I'm not a person that... I'm not going to tell you that I'm meticulous, because I'm not. I'm not going to tell you that I haven't done some things on the spur of the moment, because I have. But I am going to say that I like to make decisions and choices on solid principles. And I like to know what I'm doing is something that is... It's a reliable basis. In my line of work, I'm continually pressed to determine what the real source of the issue is. And many times as you begin to think about that, you begin to think of the process that brings something, a failure, to pass. And as you think about it, many times catastrophic failure comes from something way down the line, and something very maybe insignificant it appears in itself. So I find that solutions to many things is an accumulation of events, and it's something that builds. And I want you to know today that my faith, my confidence in the Lord is something that has went through a process of accumulation over the period of time. It is, I think about those that, I'm thinking about those that have done, that do seemingly impossible feats, physical feats, jumping and lifting and running, and a lot of those things that are done, people pump themselves up for that. If you would search people that are actively involved in idolatrous worship, and especially in past generations, you will find that they worked the ones that were doing the performance into a fervor before they actually entered into something. There's reason that many times there's music involved and drum rolls and maybe chants and all of those things. And there's a sensation, there's a element of unrealistic element of power that happens in those kind of environments to where people will step out and perform things that they wouldn't necessarily do if they was making a conscious, rational decision. If you do much research about idolatrous worship and find out that they had a lot of background noise to drown out screams and cries when they made sacrifices and put little children in the burning arms of things and all of that. People in their own rational mind wouldn't do that because they love their children. But when you put in an environment where there's an emotion that's beat and drummed up to the point that becomes something that they're moved with the power of the moment, people can do some things that are irrational. And I'm thinking of even evidences of things happening in the religious world today, people that even profess Christianity. Many times these types of healings that are claimed, that are professed, and I've not went and experienced those things, but they are results of drumming up emotions, and they're pumping things up until reality and whatever is being portrayed is kind of mingled together and it's obscured. And I believe today that our faith in God and His ability to take care of physical needs, of emotional needs, I believe our confidence in Him has got to be something different than that. If someone comes to me and begins to put a lot of pressure on me, it doesn't matter if they're trying to sell me a car or a vacuum sweeper or whatever it is, if they start really putting the pressure on me and telling me how much I deserve something because I work hard or my wife deserves it and you know she wants it, look at her smiling and all that, I'm going to tell you, that's when I put my hand up and say, you can just take your stuff and pack. I'm not buying, not under this pressure. Now, if I stop and think about it overnight and consider it, I had a man come to us one time. There were some other circumstances, and I won't tell you that. It's not important, but had a guy, we invited him to our home, and he was giving us a demonstration of a water treatment system. At that time, we thought maybe we needed one. I'm telling you, he had all the right answers, and he gave us demonstrations and hooked it up to our faucet and showed us examples, and it got down to I'd seen all I wanted. I was convinced it was a good system. It was something I was interested in, and so we sat down at the table, and I said, "Okay, just cut through all the clatter. What does it take to own one of these things?" And he went around the bush two or three times and told me it was somewhere around $5,000 or $6,000. I told him, "Well, that's not going to work. Yes, I'd like it, but it's not that good." So before he left, he'd about cut his price in half, and he was just really putting the pressure on it. And we had a real perceived need for this thing, and he was really putting the pressure on me. And I told him, I said, "Look, the bottom line is I'm not buying today. I don't care if it's $2, I'm not buying today. I'm going to think about this, and then we'll talk later." So he left, and he called me, I don't know, it was a few days later. He kept calling me and calling me, and it got down to the point that he offered this thing to me for around $1,000 or less. And I told him, I said, "You know, you've got me so confused and mixed up. I said, I don't know if this cost you $50 or what. I don't know how much money you've got invested in it. But I gave him a price, and I said, look, this is what I'll pay for it. And I said, if you want to sell it to me for that, that's fine. Well, he couldn't do that. And he kept calling me, and I said, I done told you how much I'll give, and that's it. And I didn't buy his water treatment plant. Because I had totally lost confidence in his system. But what I'm trying, the illustration I'm trying to present here is there was a lot of pressure involved to make a decision and do something when it was all over with. You know, I don't really know. Well, the Lord blessed in the situation and we didn't need the thing anyway, but it was a thing that I felt pressure to put into my life, but yet it was just there was a lot of drum rolls going on. And I'm thankful now that we didn't spend the money, that we didn't invest in that. Maybe it wouldn't have worked even like I thought it would have. So my burden this morning is for us to really consider how our faith is established and what it's rooted on and how it's going to work for us. I'm not interested in us today. When I finish with my little thought here, I'm not interested in us pulling out a drum and beating on it and somebody start doing some chants and then people start coming down here to be prayed for because they feel the pressure and the urge of the moment. All right? I'm interested in us analyzing what our faith is based on and how it's connected to the Lord and realizing that I'm making a major commitment to the Lord. I'm in a place where I am fully persuaded that this is what I want to do. All right? So I'd like for us to start reading today in Mark, the 9th chapter. I'm going to read a real life situation that we're all familiar with. We'll start reading in the 14th verse. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So the real life situation is that this one was brought to disciples, and we believe by the grace of God that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus today. And they brought them to the disciples, and the problem didn't get resolved. Here we have a dilemma on our hands. Disciples, I believe, prayed. I believe they went through the motions, so to speak, but nothing happened. And many times in our own experiences, we have brought our needs to the Lord. Whatever they may be a physical need, they may be an emotional need, there may be temporal situations, we've brought them to the Lord and we've prayed. And I've heard comments where people have said, I've prayed and prayed and I didn't get an answer. These are real situations. And we've all been in this place to some extent. We've all been there where we feel like we've prayed to the point that we don't know what else to say. I have been there myself. I have prayed every word that I know how to pray. In the middle of the night, I'm thinking of times that I've been stretched out. The concern of the situation has caused me to prostrate myself before the Lord, to bear my soul, to ask Him to search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. I've been down to the point that it doesn't matter what the future holds for me, but I need some answers and I need the Lord to intervene in the situation. And it's still, the response was not instantaneous. It was maybe the trial continued, whatever it might be. I've been there. And many of us here tonight have been in, or today have been in that position. So Jesus responds and answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I can picture myself in this next verse. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So today, as we consider this thought, I want us to realize that every one of us has been in a place, I'm speaking from personal experience, that my faith has not been as strong as I would like for it to be. I've been there. And I've been in a place where I've said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So we notice here that as the man said these words, he had come to Jesus, he had come to the one that ultimately can resolve every need in our lives. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Oh, that's a wonderful ending to that story, isn't it? And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind came forth not by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. So today, we have set aside, thank you, we have set aside this day endeavoring to fast for the needs amongst us. And I know there are needs. I know there are those here that have come with anticipation of the Lord giving you a blessing in your body, maybe in your spirit, maybe something that you need deliverance from. The kind of faith that I believe it takes is going to be more than something that a drum roll creates. It's going to have to be a faith that comes from perseverance, fasting and prayer. I ask the Lord this morning, Lord, help me to be more faithful in fasting and in prayer. I've witnessed the effect just recently. A burden was heavy on my heart. It wasn't that I just set out, I think today is a good day to fast. It was because I was so concerned. It was like eating is not something that I'm interested in today. This is something that I need the power of the Lord to work in. And as I sought the Lord going about my daily duties and had done without food, I was very surprised because my work is very physical and it takes a lot of energy, but I was very surprised at how the Lord sustained me through the day up until the next day. And I seen the Lord work. But dear ones, my faith and my confidence was not a physical need. But my faith and my confidence has been something that has been built and accumulated. And I want us to recognize today, if you're just looking for some inspiration, I want the message this morning, with the help of the Lord, to be an inspiration. I want it to be a challenge and an encouragement. But if you're just looking on a little whim to hang some faith on and get a big problem fixed, folks, it takes more than that. Our faith has got to be much more deep-rooted than that. It's got to be something that's grounded and anchored in something beyond an inspiration, a drum roll, a high-pressure situation for someone to stand up here and intimidate you into trusting the Lord for something that is a big mistake. I want to tell you that believing is a powerful element. Healing is obviously the end result that we want. And that's what is natural for us to pray for. I remember observing my father. He believed that the Lord could take care of his body. That's not the element that I'm wanting to address. But my dad was a man that there were some things that he was fearful of that's not fearful to me. And there's things that he had no fear in, it seemed like, that causes me to be very shaky. And even after they moved here to the campground and he was past 60 years old, I see my dad climb up in one of these trees out here, have a rope tied to his belt loop and chainsaw down on the end on the ground. He'd climb up in the tree, look like some young boy climbing around up there. Then he'd reach over and winch his chainsaw up with the rope and turn loose with both hands and stand up there and balance himself and start that saw and start trimming limbs off. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've never got there. And my dad was the type of person that if he stepped on something that was 3 inches off the ground and it held him up, then you could put it, what? It didn't matter where it was at. Dad'd get out on it up there. And to me, it just, something that I might trust 6 or 8 inches off the ground, it just takes on a new dimension when you raise it up there 20 or 30 feet in the air. So I want to tell you that having faith and believing is a powerful thing. My fear, my disbelief of my insecurity in doing what I've seen my father do over and over and over through life, those things that caused me to be fearful, he was confident in. And because he believed and was confident in it, look at what he was able to accomplish. He could trim limbs off and do things, and it was like, everybody can do this. And it, Dad, no, we can't. I mean, some of us, it's just, we haven't practiced enough, I guess, but it was different for me. So I want us to realize that our belief, our faith, if it's genuine, you can't have faith just because somebody sitting next to you has that faith. You got to have, the Scripture teaches us, I've got to work out my own experience with the Lord. When it comes right down to it, the faith works just like that. If I do not believe, you're going to do the scariest thing you have ever done in your life. I got to believe. You know, I believe it's the will of the Lord that we do believe. I believe that it is His design that we have that kind of confidence and faith in Him. But don't try to do it just because you think I ought to. Or because you have got to have that rock solid faith for yourself. You got to have this faith by that comes by prayer and fasting. All right? I want to look at some examples of faith that is rock solid. I'd like for us to turn to a situation. It's in the book of Daniel, very common passage, been preached about many times. And you know, this kind of situation, if it hadn't been recorded in the Scripture, we'd be missing a big part of the Bible. But we turn to Daniel, the third chapter. Look down here about the 16th verse. I'm not going to read the whole story, but I want us to look at where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were answering the king. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, if you say, I'm not careful to answer you, that means you're confident about what you're fixing to say. He says, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. This one thing, to have the confidence that the Lord is going to give us the answer that we want. That's one thing. But to have the confidence that we're going to trust the Lord even if we don't get the answer takes our faith to another dimension. All right? And we find in the next verse it says, But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor but worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Our faith is established on something that goes beyond any... They had a drum roll there, you see. They had all of the music. They had the fanfare. They had the instruction. This is all what we're going to do. And even if you wasn't accustomed to bowing down and paying tribute to a statue, everybody else was doing it, see. And many times we're in an environment where everybody else is doing this. And there's music going on. The tone has been set. The expectations has been described. There's music that is leading us up to it. And we all know that there are melodies out there that that clue us in that there's something pending that's fixing to happen. If you go to a graduation and they start playing this certain melody, you know everybody's supposed to stand up. The class is fixing to come in. All right? You listen to some kind of story that's recorded and that has music to it sometimes. I'm thinking about children's stories. And if it comes to a suspenseful state, there is a melody there. All right? And you know something's fixing to happen. You know, there's going to be some excitement here. We know what's fixing to happen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the tone was set. The melody was in place, and they were to conform to this. And many times our faith comes right down. If we could have took all of the music away, if we had took all of those people away, and it was just a one-on-one thing, they would have had less pressure. There'd still been pressure because they was dealing with the king. But they'd had less pressure. But many times we find ourselves in the place where we're surrounded by the whole environment of this is what you're supposed to do. And this is what is expected out of you. And here comes the melody and here's what the form is. And maybe you've seen everyone else bow because they did, right? It said everyone bowed except them, and they stood out like a sore thumb. And somebody said, hey, did you... There they are, standing up back there. Who is that? Well, that's those three Hebrew guys. So, we're going to find ourselves in that place where we're standing. You may have already been there. Where we're standing, and we say, I can't do that. Why can't I do that? It's not because the music wasn't right for me to do it. It wasn't because everybody else didn't clue me in as what I was supposed to do. It was because my faith reached through to something. It was grounded on something besides the surroundings. And I believe that we can have that kind of faith today. We live in a toxic environment to trust the Lord. We live in an environment that it's not conducive. All of the drum rolls, all of the melodies, all of the examples we have around us, most of us, I don't want to say always and never, you know, always get in trouble for that, but most of the surroundings around us is teaching us not to do that. Not just a little bit. Don't even trust Him a little bit. That's what's all around us, see? But I want to tell you, in that kind of environment, if we were there, I often think, what would it have been like? If I was there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would I have said, Lord, have mercy on me. You see, I don't like doing this. And just look over this once. It'll be over in just a little bit. It'll only hurt for a little while. And we go through the motions and then ask the Lord to help us. Would I have been like that? You know, I look back on my experience in trusting the Lord and I find myself in that place. All right? But I also recognize that my faith has grown. And the devil is very, he's here too today. He's listening to what I'm saying. And very likely, I'm setting myself up for a test from the devil. But I want you to know in the fear of the Lord that I believe we can have a faith that goes beyond our circumstances. It goes beyond the melody that's being played. It goes beyond the thing that is putting the pressure on us. We've got to have that kind of faith in the world that we live in. I'd like to turn to Acts, the 8th chapter, read another story. This is a story about Philip. 26th verse. Maybe we won't read it all, but he says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." So here was this man, didn't know him, but the Lord sent him. I'm thankful for everything the Lord sends our way, be it a message, be it a individual, be it a someone that is praying for us. I'm thankful for everything the Lord directs in our way to guide us and to teach us. Says the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join yourself to the chariot." And we know that Philip went over and heard the man reading. And the man didn't understand what he was reading. So Philip got in the chariot and began to explain the scriptures to him. And as he explained the scriptures to him, the realization in his faith and his confidence, not talking about faith for our body, we're talking about believing who Jesus was. And his faith was built. And we came down to the place here of he says in the 36th verse, "And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then our world, even in the United States of America today, to make that statement is not very it doesn't bring many repercussions. Yes, it makes people raise their eyebrows in certain situations, but it doesn't bring any political thing to too great extent. But for this man, in many workplaces today, for you to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," could be a serious matter. But Philip's response to him, his question was, if you believe with all of your heart, we begin to have doubts. And you know, it hinders the work. We'll begin to treat trusting the Lord like an experiment. The results are going to be diminished. All right? I want to challenge us today to cultivate our faith. I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to analyze, what's it based on? Is it based on somebody else's testimony? Oh, I'm thankful for Sister Charlotte's testimony the other day. The doctors had told her that a phone call could just push her over the edge. And she told us all of the things that had happened to her. And yet, the Lord done the miracle and healed her body too. You know, I don't know, that made me feel refreshed in my spirit. It was a boost to my courage. It was a boost to my faith. But as we hear other people give those accounts, I want us to encourage one another with those. I'm very thankful she shared that with us. But my faith has got to be between me and the Lord. I'm going to have to get down to where I'm like the three Hebrew children. I believe this God can spare me from burning up in that fire. But if He don't, I'm prepared in my mind anyway to suffer the consequences. Folks, that takes tremendous faith. All right? I'd like to turn to Joshua, the third chapter. I want to begin looking first to the... Bear with us here as we read this. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levites bearing in it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." All right? We are going to face things in our life that we hadn't been there before. We're going to come to crossings in our life, and we don't know what the next step is. And we don't know hardly... If you ever walk around in the dark in an unfamiliar room or something, you don't stick your nose out first. You're going along, putting your foot out and feeling, and especially if there might be a hole, you're checking to see if there's something I might fall into. All right? So they came up to this Jordan River, and they'd never been in this situation before. So Joshua told them, says, I want you to watch the covenant. And we know that the Ark of the Covenant ended up where? In the most holy place, did it not? All right? We're going to have our eyes on the Lord. We're going to have our vision settled on the Lord. And He says, I want you to stay back a ways, 2,000 cubits. That's quite a ways. Maybe half a mile. That's quite a ways back. Yeah. Stay way back. But why? Because if you're right on top of the thing, you're not going to... 600,000 men plus the women and children, the folks that's down the line, they're not going to know. They're just going to stumble in right back. If you fall in a hole, everybody else is going to fall in too. But stay back a ways and watch where the Lord is leading. All right? May the Lord help us to have the patience. You know, many times when somebody says, let's go, they're ready to run. But many times it's more effective to watch, to find out the direction and the speed of the lead, of the leader. So I want to encourage us and challenge us today. Keep our eyes on the Most Holy. Keep our eyes on the Most Holy and allow Him to lead us and be out in front far enough that we can see which way He's going. You know how I've watched this at the house. We have, for several years, we had some tame rabbits. And my boys got tired of feeding them, and I wasn't going to feed them. And I told them, I said, well, we got wild rabbits all around. Turn them loose in the backyard. If they live, they live. We got dogs and cats, chickens at the house. So they turned these tame rabbits out. Well, they'd never been in anything but just a small cage. Well, you know, it's been about a year and a half now, and we still have one. We did have two for a long time. I don't know what happened to one of them, but this rabbit has he stayed right around the house. He lives in an old barn I got there somewheres, and come out and eat in the yard, and eats in the broad open daylight. He's not that wild that he just eats at night, but he comes out, and I have two dogs, and they kind of are friends, but yet they're dogs. They like to chase rabbits, and one of them has three legs, and she wants to chase the rabbit, and she'll get almost to the rabbit, and you think she's going to catch it, and the rabbit will turn. And when the rabbit turns, the dog stumbles because she can't turn that fast. And the chase is over. She'll go laying back on the porch and the rabbit goes under the car or something. But when that's how a rabbit is able to elude the predator many times, is because the predator gets right on top of it and it turns and runs. I want to challenge us today to give the Lord enough leeway to guide us and direct us. But folks, we're talking about some serious stuff. We got a whole crowd of people, a whole nation behind this Ark of the Covenant. And we find as we read a little bit longer here, it says, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, went before the people, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, Joshua up to this point was speaking from a conviction in his heart. The Lord's going to do something for us. Many times we come into a situation and maybe we say to someone, I believe the Lord's going to help us. And then Joshua told the people, I believe the Lord's going to do something for us. Then the Lord spoke to him in the seventh verse. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as then it was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the waters of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye know that the living God is among you, and that he will not fail, will without fail drive from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and all of these folks. And behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel. We know they were supposed to pick up stones out of the water, right? It came to pass in the 14th verse, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark and were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest. All of our problems will seem bigger than they really are. It's always going to be at flood stage. It's always going to be the worst possible scenario. The devil will paint that picture for you. Even if you can't see it yourself, the devil will paint the river at flood stage. And when you come right down to it, my faith, your faith, has got to be anchored in something more than a sensational, motivational, come and do it. Buy this. Because I'm going to tell you, the people that were following, they had plenty of opportunity to see whether the priests were going to drown or not. They was half a mile ahead. But as the priest walked down, and it said that they had to put their foot in the water. I don't like close calls. I've had too many in my life. I've had times where I've had close brushes and I just knew I cut my finger off. And then looking, it's still there. Lord, thank you that I still got my finger. I've had those places. Near misses and on the highway, and you're driving down the road. And I remember one time I had my boys and we were coming over here to the campgrounds, and I'd been working and was tired and sleepy and was pulling a trailer, not a camper, but anyway, we're coming over for a work day or something and driving along 2-lane road, and I got sleepy and I dozed off, and we were headed for the ditch and cruise control was on and all that, and the boy said, "Daddy." And I woke up and jerked the steering wheel, and I needed both lanes. I was glad no one else was there. And the Lord helped us, and we got the thing back under control. And, oh, how close that could have been. We could have all been out into eternity and all rolled up out there in the field somewheres. I know what it's like to take the... I've been there, folks, where you're right down, your back's against the wall, and there's a hard place in front of you. I've been there. Maybe not like some of you, but I've had my share. But there are many times that we are pressed to go right down to the edge of the water and put our foot in the water. I'll give you an illustration. Before we moved to Webb City, many of you know that, this story. Our oldest son came down with what looked like appendicitis. He was a freshman in high school. And he'd missed several days suffering. It's one of those times in my life and my wife's life, our family's life, we didn't know what the future held. We didn't know where this was all going. We was doing our best to let the ark be out in front of us. Lord, I believe you can help us out. My faith, I come down to the place that I was willing to say, Lord, even if you don't, I'm going to trust you. But as that, we were right down to the point that, you know, if you walk out into a flooded river, you're going to drown. That's where it's headed. So we got right down to putting our foot in the water. It missed, I don't know, 2 weeks of school or something. It was a long time, and... thankfully, there was a flu going around and everybody else was sick. But anyway, we was calling the school and letting them know what was happening. But we got right down to the end and looked like he might be getting worse instead of better. He was losing strength and he had a temperature and he was in a lot of pain. And got right down there to the end and I finally came. I'd prayed every word I knew to pray. I'd poured myself out and laid out on the floor and said, "Lord, what are you looking for in here? I don't know what to open up. I don't know what door to open. I don't know what room to let you go in. I'm just here. What else can I say?" Come down to the point, I asked my son. I said, "Son, I don't know what else to pray." I said, "I'll take you into the doctor if you want to go." Well, I have no idea. You know, the symptoms look like it's appendicitis. Maybe it was something else. I don't know. Got right down to that point. I said, "Son, what do you want to do?" He said, "Dad, I want to trust the Lord."
Amen.
You know, folks, I believe that was on maybe Saturday. I got my days mixed up. It's been a few years ago now. But got down to that, and Sunday, the next, I know the morning the deliverance came. It was on a Sunday morning. We called, I believe we called Guthrie, and called the home congregation up there at Four Corners and told them, said, we're in trouble. Trenton is not doing good. We need the Lord to do something for us, because if He doesn't do something for us, this don't look good. The saints prayed. We were praying. And the Lord come on the scene. Amen. And we walked through on dry land. Amen. When the service was over, I believe Brother Ivan or Brother Herschel called and said, would it be all right for us to come down? And I looked over at Trent and I said, what do you think? He said, yeah, I'll tell him to come. So by the time he got there, they got there, he'd recovered his... The Lord had touched him, folks. By the time everybody got there, he had kind of revived his strength and all, and he was sitting up in the recliner, and they came in, the other young people, and were talking with him, and he was laughing, and you know, when you laugh, that can hurt. He was laughing and talking with them, and we was telling him to be careful, and oh, I feel better now, and you know, that was a wonderful experience. But it almost wasn't. It almost wasn't. You know, I thought I was going to burn there for a little while. But the Lord came to our rescue. But we had to put our foot in the water. He got better and he went back to school a few days. And then he come down with the flu that everybody else had. The guy that took off one day of work earlier, and the guy that was my supervisor said, what are you going to do? He knew my boy was sick, and I said, well, I'm going to go home and be with Trent. And he said, you're going to go home and pray for him? And I said, yes, we're going to pray. And after he went back to school and then come down with the flu and went back to work, the guy come to me and he said, you know, if he don't start doing better, you better take him to the doctor. The Lord brought him through that. And never had any more symptoms. But you know, I want to, folks, please get the, I'm not trying to put a drum roll here and say, look at what the Lord done for me. He'll do that for you and get you all pumped up. That's not what I'm trying to do here today. I'm trying to challenge you to anchor your faith and your confidence deep down in the Lord.
Right.
Yourself.
Right.
Not in your pastors, although I want you to have confidence in your pastor. But not in his faith or her faith.
Right.
And not in your parents' faith, but in for yourself with the Lord. You've got to have your faith anchored down in there for this thing to really work. So we find that as they put their foot in the water, that the waters which came down from above stood up, rose up upon a heap very far from the city. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city, Adam, and that is behind Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt, failed and were cut. Have I gotten the right? And the 17th verse says, and the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. May the Lord help us to have that kind of confidence in the Lord. The Bible is filled. I thought I might write down a bunch of scriptures or all that are the miraculous things that our God has done. The Bible is filled with incredible things that the Lord done. One of the things that stands out in my mind is in making that old axe head float in the water. Oh, I think about that. And I think about the situation where The prophet had prepared the sacrifices, and the prophets of Baal was all around with their drum rolls and chants and dancing and all of that stuff. And after it was all over, can you imagine the pressure that he felt? All of this activity around there. It says he bowed his head or humbled himself before the Lord and prayed a simple little prayer. And look out. Here come the Lord and burn up the sacrifice and the stones and the water and everything. But I'm going to tell you, the prophet went way out on a limb. And he didn't do that because of a drum roll. He done that because of his faith and his confidence in the Lord was deep rooted. We're surrounded with a great cloud of witness. Won't turn there, but you know what it says over there in Hebrews. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Old Testament, New Testament, our lifetime, our parents' lifetime. We're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses of those that had the kind of faith that the Hebrew children had. The kind of faith that the Levites had when they stepped out in front of the people, a half a mile ahead. They could have been a real spectacle. Priests drowning, they probably couldn't have swam very good in those robes and the ark floating down the river. It would have been a disaster, wouldn't it? But they had to have a confidence in the Almighty God that they were doing the right thing by stepping out into that. You're going to have it for yourself, folks. I can't do it for you. I can't be saved for you, and I can't have the faith for you. You're going to have it for yourself. I'm going to tell you one more real life experience in our home. Many of you know that our second son has a little baby, just a few months old, developed rashy red skin, had eczema, suffered. I don't know what it's like to suffer like that, but he suffered tremendously. Very uncomfortable. I spent many, many, many nights holding him in the recliner, praying and asking the Lord to come to our rescue. I was tired from my day's work, and he would start scratching his legs, and I would rub his legs. My hands are rough, and that'd kind of soothe him and keep him from scratching. And he'd quit scratching his legs, and while I rubbed his legs, he would scratch his forearms like this. And I would move from rubbing his legs to scratching his arms. And while I was rubbing his arms, he would be scratching his legs. And I thought, Lord, this is never going to end. And we tried everything we knew to do to make his environment better. Oatmeal baths and rubbing on everything you could imagine. Like Crisco. That stuff stinks. I'm just telling you where I am. And we was praying and asking the Lord, show us. Is he allergic to something? And it finally came down. It felt like he was allergic to the stuff that's in potato chips and hot dogs and stuff like that. Pizza. So we said, all right, that's pretty easy. We eliminated that all out of his diet and seemed to be doing better. And it felt like the Lord was giving us understanding and blessing him. And he could... I didn't have to hold him and keep him from scratching. And this was going on to the point that he's going to school. Went through kindergarten. I think he went half day kindergarten. Then he was going to first grade. He's going to be there all day that day. Well, all of us have our own ideas, right? When I was growing up, I thought the coolest thing they'd ever be is take my lunch to school. Well, that wasn't cool to him. So come down, he's going to eat lunch, and Anita told him, said, well, son, you know, the days that they're going to serve corn dogs, I'll pack you a special lunch, and you can take that so you won't eat that because we know that hurts you. And he says, I don't want to take my lunch. I want to eat with everybody else. And we feel like the Lord had already revealed to us this was causing a problem. And now he's saying, I want to eat corn dogs. So I got down to the point, here we are again, we're fixing to step in the water. What are we going to do? Last thing I want to do is hinder my faith, my children's faith. The last thing I want to do is hinder your faith this morning. So we come down to the point that I said, son, you believe the Lord can heal you to where you can eat that stuff that only Noah is not any good for us? Yes. He said, I believe the Lord can do it. I remember we were in our little kitchen and I said, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to touch you. So I remember pulling out the chair and him kneeling down there. I'm sorry, folks. We poured out our hearts to the Lord and asked the Lord to help him and honor his faith. He went to school, never took his lunch, and that condition did not come back. That's a true story. Dear ones, don't expect the Lord to come to your rescue just because I told you some passionate stories. You're going to have the faith for yourself. You're going to have it deep down in your heart. You're going to have to know, I believe the Lord. I'm doing this because I love Him more than anything else. I want to surrender myself to His control and push, pull, live, die, sink or swim. This is what I want to do. What I want to do. And we're going to have that kind of faith to be able to step out on. Dear ones, there's a lot of serious things we do in our world, and this is a serious step. So I'm asking you this morning to examine your faith and ask the Lord to help you anchor your faith. And I don't want it to be a peripheral thing. I want it to be solid. I got one little story. I'm sorry. I may take too much time this morning. But I remember we was remodeling our house several years ago when we lived in Oklahoma. And my wife likes to hang things on the wall. And, of course, they can't just be put there and stay there. You got to change things once in a while. And I always, when I'm trying to hang something, I'm looking for something solid to nail it into. But that's not right where she wants it, see? It needs to be over 2 inches this way, or it needs to be that way, a foot or something. Well, there's nothing really to hang it on, but that's where I want it. So I've had to deal with, you know, all of us had to do that. So in remodeling the house, there was one wall that was going to be kind of in our living room, and I knew that she would want to hang a picture up there or something like that. So I had some other reasons too, but I went in there and before I put my sheetrock on the wall, I put OSB on it. Y'all know what that is. Put the whole wall OSB. And then I put my sheetrock over the top of it, and I said, when we got done, I said, you can hang a picture anywhere you want to. It's solid back there. If you want it 2 inches to this side or you want it 3 inches over there, just drive your nail. You don't have to ask me to find nothing for you. Just put it in there. I want our confidence in the Lord to be something that we know there's something back there for ourselves. Not something that, well, you know, I've seen so-and-so do it, so I think I'm going to do it. It's not good enough.
That's right.
It's not good enough. You're going to have that faith and that confidence for yourself this morning. Pray for me.